This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am so happy to be here today. Thank you all for tuning in. It's another beautiful day here in New England, and we have a really fun show planned for you today because I think that's what we all need. We've got Woke or Joke coming up at 1:30. And we're also going to have Two-Way Tuesdays today at 2 o'clock with Toby Leary. We moved it from Tuesday because it was Election Day, so we'll be doing that later on in the show, so you can get ready for that. And in the first hour, there's a lot I want to go over here, and kind of all over the place. It's not just midterms. There's some other stories in the news. But I do want to start with just some updates on the election. Still a lot up in the air. Arizona is still a complete mess. We're waiting for the results of the Senate and gubernatorial races. And as of a few hours ago, Maricopa County began its hand count audit of an estimated 400,000 ballots that were unprocessed. It's funny because we hear a lot today about division in this country and the need for unity. And I don't disagree with that. I think that anyone who's honest with themselves knows that we are extremely polarized right now. People are very angry. And so if we're going to try to find solutions to that, I think at a time when people are so on edge about politics and these elections, figuring out a way to have these elections occur in a timely, accurate manner might be an easy way to eliminate this kind of nervousness and anger from the equation. This election dysfunction is not necessary. You look at Florida. Florida was able to get it done. They were able to tell you who the winner was, and they're the third most populated state in the nation. So if they can do it in Florida, it can be done. Now, furthermore, and because we obviously know it can be done. That's like a Jerry Seinfeld line. He says that to Kramer. Anything can be done. The question is, will you do it? And when you look at this situation playing out again, you know, it feels like we've seen this movie so many times. It's the refusal from politicians, mostly on the left. I want to paint with too broad a brush, but I would say it's liberal politicians. It's their refusal to acknowledge this problem, which we can so clearly see it as a problem, that also stirs up fear and skepticism from voters. And I've said this before on the show, and I really do mean it. It should bother everyone. If you're one of the liberal listeners who calls in and gets mad at me, it should bother you too. Because if you are going to win, and Lord knows liberals can win, I'm looking at the results of these elections. I'm not happy about it. But they can do it. They should want everyone to feel as confident as they are. Because when they lose, they pull the same thing Republicans pull. They say, there's some shady stuff going on. Sonny Hostin was already getting ready for it. They were all prepping us for, I don't know about that. You know, there could be Politico saying there could be tunneling in to the election machines. Tunneling in. And that suddenly went away. Democracy was, you know, at risk. And then suddenly, boom, everything's okay now. Except for in Arizona. And so this refusal to acknowledge what a lot of people are nervous about and what a lot of people see a problem with is even more frustrating. And you could really apply that to all the issues the country is facing right now. But the statement addressing this fiasco from the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, specifically Chairman Bill Gates, not that Bill Gates, different Bill Gates, and Vice Chairman Clint Hickman, the statement was laughable. I actually laughed out loud when I was reading this. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read you a couple of key points here. So this is their joint statement. It says, over the past 24 hours, we have learned more about the printer issue that caused some ballots to not be read at vote centers yesterday. All right. Well, you know what? I will give them a point for saying issue instead of glitch. Because at this point, when I see glitch, I don't have a good feeling. I associate glitch with shenanigans. Then they say, well, and Jared, I want you to listen to this because I read this today and I was like, is this supposed to make us feel better? It says, while the issue impacted less than 7% of Election Day voters, and then in parentheses it says about 17,000 ballots, we understand that for people who went through it, this was frustrating, inconvenient, and not how they pictured Election Day. Feels a little bit to me like they're downplaying people's concerns, or, you know, they're delegitimizing how people feel about this to say, well, it only impacted less than 7% of Election Day voters. I still consider that a bit pretty big chunk. 17,000 ballots. If it was one of my ballots, I'd be pretty ticked off.
17,000 ballots. That is right now roughly the gap in votes between Hobbs and Lake. So, yeah, that's a little important.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in, I mean, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's somewhere in that range.
You know, they wanted to throw an only in there. They said, well, the issue impacted less than 7%. They wanted to say,
so we could just toss those out. You don't need those.
They wanted to say, well, the issue only impacted less than 7%. Like, it's no big deal. Why are you guys freaking out? 7%?
God, you boomer rubes love your votes so much. Jeez, get over it.
And then they said, we plan to get to the bottom of it. That's another thing. Whenever I hear that, I think, okay, we'll never figure this out. It's like the Russian hoax. We got to the bottom of that, didn't we? Connected those dots. Those dots leading to nowhere.
Right now, the latest, Hobbs is at 953,000 and Lake is at 940,000. So, yeah, that's the margin of error in Maricopa County.
And they don't think it's a big deal, though.
Ah, that's cool.
I read that sentence and I was like, wait, are they trying to act like that's not a lot of votes? And then it says the printer settings. So now they get into the nitty gritty of what's actually going on. You know, how this glitch occurred, how this issue, this error in the system happened. They say the printer settings for the ballot on demand printers at vote centers were the same ones we used in the August primary. The paper was the same thickness. Prior to the general election, the elections department test printed and test tabulated hundreds of ballots without issue.
I mean, look, we've been reconfoobling the Energy Motron Matrix all day. I don't understand what the problem here is.
Again, there's just excuse after excuse after excuse. What's up next? Like, oh, the dog ate all the ballots? It's really getting pathetic. We are committed to finding out what factors changed that led to issues at 70 vote centers on Tuesday. We are grateful to County Techs who found a fix to the problem by adjusting printer centers. Now, they go on to say, you know, technology on occasion fails. Yeah. It happens on very specific occasions, though, doesn't it? You don't hear a lot about these technological failings besides on Election Day. And then this was my favorite sentence. They say, once we get through this election, we are committed to finding the root cause of the issue so that it does not happen again. Are you going to send Kamala Harris to Maricopa County to get to the root cause of this issue? Does it have anything to do with the Northern Triangle or Russia, maybe? And how about the sentence, once we get through this election? It might have been a good idea if we figured this out before this election.
Didn't you print practice ballots or something? It's like what happened on primary day here down in, Barnstable, where like they just couldn't get to the... Like, you have one day a year where you do this.
Yeah, it's...
I'm sorry, you have a year and a month and 3 weeks after that day, but yeah,
this is
what you do.
It's really pathetic, and no one will be held accountable, but they'll get to the bottom of it. Rest assured, you have nothing to worry about. If you're one of the people who cast one of those 17,000 votes, don't feel bad. You tried your best. Oh, well, get them next time. Another thing I wanted to talk about today, and we'll get to this throughout the first hour, is Joe Biden's press conference last night. It was around 4:00. He gave a press conference. Jill was out there with him. You know, they're so transparent. They can't come out and talk to the press ever, except for when they think they can gloat for 5 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Hey, such a good job. Hey, I showed you, didn't I? He's really taking a victory lap. And I guess he deserves it. I don't know. I don't know if he's really the one responsible for the fact that Democrats did okay. And let me just say one thing here, because one thing I noticed was, yet again, he is taking this past election, which is not even done yet. You know, we don't really know how things are going to shape out. I'm hoping we take the House. Senate's still up in the air. Everything's up in the air, but that doesn't matter. Joe Biden loves to brag. You know, the hubris on this guy. He wants to get out there and tell you how great he is. But this election, which, yes, the Democrats did much better than they should have and much better than expected. And am I disappointed in the red wave for Republicans? Sure. But Democrats did not crush anyone. You know, they dodged a bullet. That is the key here. They dodged a bullet. But Biden is yet again taking this election as a mandate that people want more of what he's doing. People want more cowbell. People want more Joe Biden. They want more of these policies. And he basically said to people, I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to keep going the way I'm going. He thinks that this past election was a green light to drive the country even further left. And I'm angry at people that we gave him the idea that he has that green light. But alas, we got to just keep moving forward. Now, the media is right beside him as far as convincing themselves that what Americans did was not rebuke maybe the GOP's lack of message, but that people were giving them the signal that we love everything you're doing. And so, you know how crazy they are? You know how much this election's already going to their heads? Take a listen to Katie Turr's suggestion for who should run in 2024. Cut five.
Fetterman as a nominee at some point for president. I know there's some variables, obviously.
just a few.
But I just, you know, what he did in the super red, deep red parts of Pennsylvania, and the way that he ran ahead of Biden, as you were saying, ran ahead of Trump. I mean, it makes you wonder about his future.
Now, it's really tempting to hear that and say, oh my gosh, yeah, run him. You know, run him in 2024. That will go really well. But I can't even do that anymore because I don't know. Maybe it will. Like, that's the part of this that drives me so crazy. I'm tempted to mock this. I'm tempted to say that's a preposterous idea. You guys should do it. Let's see. But I said that about Joe Biden and it worked. So instead of mocking Democrats, I'm trying to understand their confidence, and I can. If you can run a guy who can barely put a sentence together and he wins a Senate seat in Pennsylvania, and if you have a man who can't remember he's president and he is the leader of the free world, then you're going to think you can do whatever you want. You're going to think you can put up any candidate you want. And until people start telling them, no, we will not accept that, then I don't know what's going to change. So my reaction is not, haha, that's such a crazy idea. My reaction is, good Lord, the GOP needs to get it together. We need to get serious, because it's not enough for the RNC to tweet out videos of Joe Biden falling off his bike or AOC eating chicken nuggets and complaining about Elon Musk on Instagram Live. That's all fun, and I talk about it all the time, and it's fine to share it on social media and whatever, but it means nothing if we lose to the very people we're mocking as insane. So that's where we need to focus. And that's going to be the focus of this first hour. We're going to talk about Trump. We're going to talk about DeSantis again. But we are going to branch out a little bit and play some sound and some reaction. I also have some great Carrie Lake sound, because I do want to focus on Arizona here, because this is just ridiculous what's happening. And unfortunately, it's very predictable. 844-500-4242. Also, some very telling sound from Kayleigh McEnany. I really thought that anyone in Trump's orbit would tiptoe around a lot of these conversations about Trump versus DeSantis, but Kayleigh was very clear about how she feels about Trump's looming announcement on November 15th. We'll play that sound when we come back. It's 844-500-4242. We're going to have so much fun today. I cannot wait to hear from you. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Come on. 978 says, Grace, I'm glad the Republicans didn't do better, because when this economy falls apart, we only have the Dems to blame. In 2024, we should do better at the polls. Yeah, I'm tempted to feel like that too sometimes. Like, you don't want to be in charge of everything because then you get blamed for everything. But when you're dealing with Democrats like this, you'd rather be in charge of everything. You know, you just would. It would make you feel better, I would think. But I do understand your point, 978-844-500-4242. A lot of people keep telling me that all the red wave talk kept all the Republicans home, which I don't know if that's true, but Miranda Devine, and I'll read you guys this piece a little bit later because I think it's definitely going to boost morale. She had a really good breakdown of these midterms, but she said if it weren't for the exaggerated predictions of a red wave whipped up by wily Democrats to scare their voters, the Republicans had a good night. And now I've been thinking, yeah, when people think they're the underdogs, that's usually when they come out. So maybe that's what we should do from now on. Maybe we've done better when they tell us we're going to do terrible. So the one time they tell us we're going to do great, we get wiped out. Kind of makes sense. All right, let's go to the calls, though. I've been super impressed with all the callers this week. Let's go to Lou. You're first up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
How you doing, Grace? Number one, if the Republicans just get the House, then it's automatic gridlock anyway. No more big new Green Deal bills are going to pass out of that House if they control it. Plus, they'll be able to control all the investigating with their committees. So, I mean, that's a big deal right then and there. If they get the Senate, then the confirmations and stuff like that can be blocked too as well. So I think that's a good thing. And all that, and remember, just like with the Democrats, all they had needed was one senator and five people in the House to do all the damage that they did. So there could be in gridlock right there, then and there. But the thing is, a couple points. Number one is that this thing with the voting thing is that what an excuse-making machine that is out down there in Arizona. They're very, very loose with this voting stuff and trying to, you know, and dealing with that. They weren't that way with the mandates, were they? Or the vaccine cards, you know, as much as they were with voting, are they? They're very tight with that stuff, but very loose with this. And the Democrat idea of unity, that's what I called about to begin with, is that they want to control everything. Look how they're reacting to Musk's takeover of Twitter. Like, one piece of their media is leaving, and they're going all apoplectic about it. It's totally nuts. So considering the amount of media that they have and have had over the years and the control that they've had over that, I think if we get more and more media like Musk is doing or other things, I think we'll be better off. And the issues have to be talked about. The real issues, not about the debilitation of the candidates, but the issues of the candidates.
The policies, right.
Very, very far left, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The policies. And Lou, I just want to stop you there because you just made such a great point. And I have not heard anyone say this, but you're absolutely right. When it comes to controlling our lives, when it comes to vaccine passports, like you said, these vaccine mandates, making sure 6 month olds have to be vaccinated to go to daycare or whatever it is. They are very specific. They are very detail oriented. They don't leave any stone unturned when it comes to the pronouns and their bios. They're very, very detail oriented. But you're right. When it comes to this voting, suddenly it's willy nilly. I never heard that point before, and I really like it. As far as the investigations go, Joe Biden thinks people are going to look at this as comedy. I don't think Joe Biden's going to be laughing once these investigations pick up. And that makes me think of Jim Jordan, because he's been really talking about what they're going to do as investigations. And I've been seeing a lot of talk today about Kevin McCarthy and whether or not he should be speaker if Republicans take control of the House, which it's looking like hopefully they will. And I don't know if this is a crazy idea, and if people disagree, call in, but I would love to see Jim Jordan be speaker. Let's mix it up. Obviously, something's not working, so let's try something new. All right, we'll go right back to your call, so stay on the line. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
We are about to go right to the calls, but before we do, I want to play one sound cut here because I found this pretty amazing. When Joe Biden did his third presser yesterday with Jill by his side, with Nana, Dr. B, watching him carefully,
Nana.
He was asked if he would do anything differently. And Jared, can you play that cut for us? Because I want to get the caller's reaction.
What in the next 2 years do you intend to do differently to
change people's opinion of the direction of the country, particularly as you contemplate a run for president in 2024?
Nothing, because they're just finding out what we're doing.
In other words, I have the green light now. You know, this was a mandate for me to continue on, to keep on keeping on the Joe Biden boom. And I wanted to read you just really quickly here a paragraph from Nicorama. She said, Americans who voted for Democrats or who were fooled into believing Biden had achieved something by his sleight of hand tricks over oil and gas are about to get a rude awakening. Prepare for the oil and gas prices now to start going back up once the releases from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve stop. The railroad strike Biden put off, and she should have put quotes around put off because that was a scam too. They might hit now in December in the holiday season. On top of all that, here comes the diesel shortage as well. Prepare for all of that because it's coming. Let's go to the callers now. Karen, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Karen.
Hey, Grace, perfect timing. A friend just brought me an email, basically from Mara Healy. It says, from the Green Communities of Massachusetts Department of Energy Resources. And it says, important message about heating oil supply. I will not read you the whole thing. I'm going to tweet you photos of it so you can see it. But it basically says, you know, oil prices in the Northeast are going up. Put together your own private strategic petroleum reserves. Fill up your oil tank. Parentheses, if you can afford it, and save your own and use it only when you're about to freeze to death. This email is absolutely fantastic. When you see this, I hope that you read it and you talk to your listeners about it.
I will, Karen. Please send that to Grace at HowieCarshow.com. That reminds me of the old, and I can't remember who sent it. I think it must have been California when they were telling people to harness the sun. I think Mara Healy's already sending out harness the sun emails. I guess this can never be too soon. You know, what other tips are they going to give us? You know what's a really good tip? And I'm not even, I'm sure we're going to get emails about this, is wearing a hat. Because you hold a lot of heat in your head. You hold a lot of heat in your head and in your feet. And my mom was a big fan. I hope my mom's listening right now. She'll laugh. She was wearing hats all winter long when I was growing up. She always had a hat on her head. Sometimes I'd say goodnight to her. She'd have a hat on in bed. It was like Willy Wonka with the grandparents in the bed. I'm like, do you have a hat on right now? What is that? But I bet that's going to be a tip for people. You know, turn down the heat.
Cottage industry of sleeping caps.
Yeah, turn down the heat, put on a bed jacket, and just try your best. Just say a couple Hail Marys before you go to bed. Let's go to Jonathan. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi, Grace. Nice to talk to you.
You too. What's going on?
You know, when I was growing up, my mom would always say, don't get your hopes up and you don't get disappointed. But I listened to you a lot now, and of course, I got my hopes up.
I'm sorry.
I really don't want you. I wasn't trying to get an apology out of you. But it happens. I think after the 2020 election, I couldn't listen to Howie for like a month. I was just so disappointed. And I don't know why, you know, I mean, it should have happened. I thought it was going to happen, but it didn't happen.
I know. And you know what? I'm glad that you don't need a month off this time. I'm glad that your rebound rate is getting a little bit less each time, Jonathan. And what I'll add into that is I have to be fully honest with people right now. I am a glass half full person. I always will be. I get it from my dad. My dad can find silver linings in every situation. And I know that's how I am. So I definitely always look at the bright side. And you're right, though. I mean, that can lead to disappointments. But what I will say, because I'm going to do it again right now, I'm going to try to find the bright side, is when I was reading the piece by Miranda Devine, and I've been reading these other things coming out of conservatives, sure, there are a lot of people who are now highly critical of Donald Trump. I think that's valid. I think that there is a conversation to be had about going forward in 2024, and how can we use this as a blueprint to do well in the next election. But I do think that there were a lot of good signs from these midterms that we need to harness. Just like the sun, we need to harness the good signs from the election. Because there's no reason to get too down in the dumps. There was a lot of things. I mean, look at Long Island. Look at, that's in New York. You know, that's deep blue New York. There was a lot of things that happened that should give us some optimism. And I'm always going to try to lean heavily on the optimism.
Yeah, and again, the disappointment is only against the expectation that was set. Again, it still looks like the Republicans are on track to control the House, and they have a very good shot to control the Senate. And yeah, would it be great if the Patriots win a Super Bowl 56-10? Yeah, it would be. But if they win 24-21, they still win.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If it's still going to be a success if they can control both chambers. And I know we all know the shenanigans, and it wears on you. But again, this could still end up being a two-chamber victory for the Republicans. And then it's game on.
And if it's only a one, if it's only the House, you know, it is gridlock. And gridlock, in my mind, is always a good thing. And, you know, Joe Biden's agenda being stopped dead in its tracks is music to my ears. So that is another good thing.
And sometimes, like I said, that's just enough to stop the bleeding for 2 years. To stop the bleeding and do a little, you know, damage control. And then regroup and try to fix, you know.
I know that we just read this comment. And about the 978, who was saying, you know, well, at least now if we only take the House, then they can't blame us for the economy. I'm curious if other people feel that way, because I think that logically in my mind, I shouldn't feel that way. I should feel like, no, I want to win both. I want to win. I want to win. I want to have the power so that we can change things and we can make things better and we can, you know, kill some of this horrible legislation and we can bring some sanity back to D.C. But then that part of me does feel like I don't want to get blamed for the upcoming doom and gloom recession, and that's exactly what they'll do. And then I'm sure people are thinking to themselves, I'm trying to think of every single thing people could possibly say right now. I guess the counter would be, well, they're going to blame us for everything either way.
Right.
So you might as well be in charge. Right. That's, I guess, where I'm coming from.
Yeah. You know, you just at least, because, again, getting the House, if it happens, is great because they can start the investigations. Getting the Senate would be great because then Ron Johnson and Rand Paul can start their investigation into Fauci. And just, you could just start the process. No more crazy legislation gets passed. No more money for Ukraine. That's already been put out there. So at least in some respect, there'll be some sanity. Just a stop to the bleeding is really what we need.
Speaking of Ukraine, Joe Biden had a little issue there. It wasn't as bad as his minor incursion remark, but he had a little slip up at the press conference. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Sean Penn giving Zelensky his Oscar.
Yeah, I don't... Sean Penn, man.
I wish I remember what it was. Somebody said that Zelensky should melt it down and use it to make bullets.
I mean, Sean Penn, what is happening? Like, Zelensky does these Vogue photo shoots. He meets with Sean Penn.
He's fighting a very serious war.
He does these videos for, like, what was it, the Grammys? It's just all very bizarre to me. I don't even really keep track of it as much anymore because there's so much of this back and forth that it's hard to understand what's even occurring. 844-500-4242. Now, speaking of the investigations into Hunter, Joe Biden said good luck with that or something along those lines. Lots of luck. Lots of luck. He's very, very smug. And that for me, when we talk about the disappointment, is I just want to see, I'm realizing now how petty I am, but all I wanted out of this election, besides the Senate, the House, power, and all that good stuff, I just wanted that smug, not funny, but thinks he's funny grin that Joe Biden has to be wiped off of his old, smug, condescending face. And it wasn't. And that really bothers me because every time he comes out with something, you notice that, like, he can never just answer a question. He has to throw in like a ba-dum-boom-sh. Everything's like a joke to him. Oh, I'm so funny. He's like Don Rickles or something. I just wanted once for him to have to be a little bit hat in hand. And I didn't get it. And that's okay. That's okay, because hopefully we'll get it in 2024. But that would have been nice. Let's go to Nick. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, hi, Grace. This is Nick D. I text you all the time.
Oh, yeah, Nick. Thank you. You're a great texter.
Thank you. Yeah, it's first time calling. I thought I'd start talking to you. Grace, you know, you talked about the glass half full, and that's exactly what I was calling about. I mean, I was, like most people, really depressed yesterday. I mean, terribly so. I mean, but, you know, overnight and listening to some different things, and one of the realizations was that Arizona, they're playing games down there. And Hobbs, she's a Secretary of State, and they held back all these same-day ballots. Well, same-day ballots are predominantly Republican. So here she is down after 24 hours, down by 10%, which was depressing. Kerry Lake, who I just loved. And ultimately, she's probably going to win. And the same thing, Masters could actually win that Senate seat, which would be huge. I mean, we could take the Senate even without Georgia. And then also, New York State, yeah, they didn't get the governorship, which is kind of crazy, but they did get a lot of the congressional seats. And So in Florida, of course, is incredible. So
right.
There was a lot of positive. Yeah, and the negative was big time. What the hell's with Pennsylvania? What the hell's with New England? New England was a disaster. Even LePage didn't pull it out. You got to be kidding me. He was the ex-governor who did a great job.
I know.
So those are the only. So if you take away the New England thing and Pennsylvania, it really isn't bad. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say.
Really, really good points, Nick. Thank you for always texting in, and please call back because I liked hearing from you. And as far as the Carrie Lake thing goes, I really want her to win. Not only because I think she's good, not only because I think that it would be great to have someone who could handle the media with just such brilliance, but also because she deserves it. Like, just from a merit standpoint, she actually campaigned. This woman, Katie Hobbs, who sounds like she's in junior high, did her entire campaign from her basement. She's like a valley girl. She hasn't said two things to the press. She refused to debate Carrie Lake. She doesn't deserve to win. And I know that's not how it works. And I know there's plenty of dirty tricks involved. But that part of it for me is a tough pill to swallow. And I really hope that Carrie Lake pulls this out.
And Carrie Lake actually is right now the most important linchpin in this entire operation if she wins, because if she wins, she will go after voter fraud, she will go after the machine, she will get to the bottom of things,
she will get to the root cause.
Yes,
as Bill Gates was saying,
and that hopefully will start a domino effect in other states, where other states that have the same machines or whatever will start looking into it, and that could be huge.
Yeah, and the reason that they don't try to fix the chaos is because the chaos is the point. They want the chaos, they need the chaos. And we got to bring people in who just say, no more of this. You know, this is an important thing for a lot of people. A lot of people wait for these elections, and a lot of people voice their opinions. They vote and they go in there and they want their voices to be heard. And for them to feel like this is a complete dysfunctional mess is not right. And it's not necessary. It can be fixed. Nothing drives me crazier than things that can be fixed that aren't. All right. We're going to be right back. Stay on the line. We got to do the poll question. We get back and we'll take more of your calls. But first, there's nothing, you know, I talk a lot about silver linings, glass half full. Something that always makes me feel better is thinking about Omaha Steaks, because Omaha Steaks has the most incredible quality meat you're ever going to find. I'm talking hamburgers, hot dogs, filet mignon, all different kinds of steaks. They've got chicken, they've got sausages. Anything you want, they've got at omahasteaks.com. And here's the best part. Right now, you can take advantage of their 50% off site-wide sale. It's a semi-annual sale. They only do this twice a year. And you can just stock up on delicious favorites that you'll have for the fall and winter season. So, you know, that Saturday night rolls around. You want to have a glass of wine, watch a movie, but you're like, should we order a pizza? You don't have to. You got two delicious steaks waiting in your freezer to be cooked up on the cast iron skillet. You can't go wrong. Now, Jared, we talk a lot about the different things you eat. I know you're a fan of the hot dogs. I know you're a fan of the steaks. But let's talk about what you pair your steaks with. Like, what are your go-to sides here?
I am a big fan of steak and potatoes in any form. Also, steak and asparagus is a very nice combination that I like.
Excellent. You do any sauces?
I'm not a sauce person, really.
And with Omaha Steaks, you really don't need to be.
Sometimes, for lesser steaks, sometimes I will do like the steak sauce. But Omaha Steaks have enough flavor that you don't need that. And as all true steak purists will tell you, you really don't need sauce.
Absolutely. You just need a little salt and pepper and you're good to go. That's omahasteaks.com. Enter Grace at checkout. Stock up on their fall flavors. It's perfect for those chilly, busy fall nights. And if you use promo code Grace at checkout, you'll score an extra $30 off. Now, Omaha Steaks is not just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. That's omahasteaks.com. Code Grace at checkout. Minimum order may be required. Check these out. Grab yourself a nice bottle of Cab and enjoy a delicious steak dinner because you deserve it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot more with the listeners. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday Junior, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, you probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah, there's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
Does that include Trump?
I think he needs to put it on pause. Absolutely. Look, he'll make that decision. He'll make his own decision. But
does he go to Georgia?
If I'm advising any contender, DeSantis, Trump, whomever, no one announces 2024 until we get through December 6th.
Do you see the former president, a need for him to go to Georgia?
I think we've got to make strategic calculations. Governor DeSantis, I think he should be welcome to the state given what happened last night.
Oh, you've got
to look. You got to look at the realities on the ground. And Herschel Walker, we've got to win the Senate. That's it, guys. Got to win the Senate.
That was Kayleigh McEnany, and she's very bright, and she's obviously not someone who gets too caught up in, you know, towing the loyalty lines. And I think that's a great move because she's right. We do need to win the Senate. And Donald Trump said he was going to make a decision on November 15th, this big decision that everybody was going to love. And it's not over yet. Now we have this runoff in Georgia. That needs to be the focus. It can't be about Donald Trump. And let's face it, if he announces he's running, that's probably not going to bode too well for Herschel Walker because it just doesn't. It tends to scare people away from the polls, or it encourages Democrats to get out to the polls, and we don't need that right now. So I agree with Kayleigh McEnany, but I'm curious what everybody else thinks. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean View rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on the weekends through March. So book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should President Trump hold off his 2024 announcement until after the Georgia Senate runoff?
Yes, I think he should.
91% of the audience agrees.
And, you know, it's funny. I got a tweet earlier, and I actually sent it to the mailroom manager because we were discussing this and how people get a little fatigued from all of this politics. And someone responded to me and said that, yeah, he should hold off. This is the thing. He said, yes, he absolutely should. I don't think he should announce until January. People are just sick of this politics stuff. The holidays are coming up. Just give it all a rest. And I know that might sound, I know it's because a lot of us are really tuned into politics. We might think, well, that's not how it works. But it kind of is in a way. You know, people do need a little bit of a reset. People need a little time to take it all in and take a deep breath and kind of gauge what's just happened. And so I don't think it would hurt him to wait a little bit longer. I don't think he needs to do this right around Christmas or, you know, worse, right before Thanksgiving. 844-500-4242. When we get back, I'm going to switch it up a little bit here. If you want to comment on anything we just talked about, of course, you are more than welcome. But there was an amazing comment on one of the mainstream media networks about what people are using their money on if they're having their student loans forgiven. And I think this might be worse, Jared, than KJP's comment about people being able to fill out
easily
their student loan forgiveness from their pajamas. That to me was insulting. And I'm someone who, I have student loan debt. I don't have a ton of it, but I have a little bit. And I don't fault people for taking advantage of it. If they're going to offer it, I mean, you know, of course, you're going to do what you're going to do. But to tell people that a bunch of Gen Z or millennials are sitting around in their PJs and you're canceling their student loans, but this actually might be worse, this latest comment. We're going to play it for you and get your reaction when we come back.